Oh my goodness. It is such a passion project of mine to have been able to speak with Missy Lavender. Missy Lavender is the author of Below Your Belt, How to Be the Queen of Your Pelvic Region. It's a pelvic handbook for girls. I found this book about 7 years ago, and it truly changed and energized me around how I could approach educating my clients on some of the most basic ADL-driven aspects of their life. It was a joy to be able to talk with Missy. She is an entrepreneur, an innovator, a researcher, an author, and patient advocate for pelvic health. And that really comes across in our talk today. She's particularly passionate around persons assigned female. Her passion stems from her own journey after a difficult childbirth and search for the right care team, which she did end up finding. She has started two companies to bring equitable, accessible programs and products to people so they can be healthy below the belt and to get the right care faster. Missy is an avid hiker, a cyclist, a traveler, and a yogi. She lives between LA and Lake Geneva, Washington, and has two emerging adult children and a Portuguese water dog, Libby. I do apologize. The sound quality is a little bit different than normal in my podcasts. There is some background noise, but I sat at the edge of my seat with everything Missy had to share, and I'm sure you will as well. New and seasoned OTs are finding their calling in pelvic health. After all, what's more ADL than sex, peeing, and poop? But here's the question. What does it take to become a successful, fulfilled, and thriving OT in pelvic health? How do you go from beginner to seasoned and everything in between? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. We are inspired OTs. We are out-of-the-box OTs. We are pelvic health OTs. I'm your host, Lindsay Vestal, and welcome to the OTs in Pelvic Health podcast. Missy, thank you for being a guest on the OTs for Pelvic Health podcast. It is beyond a pleasure to have this conversation with you today.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'm so pleased to be here.
Yay. Well, I have to start off with a question that is kind of how I know you and how I know your work. And that is by reading the Below Your Belt, a pelvic health handbook for girls. And I read this book about 7 years ago. And Missy, I have to say, it was one of the most refreshing books about pelvic health to this day that I have ever seen. It has beautiful illustrations. It was written in such a relatable and approachable way. And after devouring this book from cover to cover, I immediately redid all of my handouts from my pelvic health clients as kind of a direct result of the inspiration and the impact that your book had on me. And even though I was seeing adults in New York City, it really showed me that pelvic health education could be fun, it could be relatable, it could be energizing. And so thank you for that. And in regards to the actual book itself, it really illuminates, I think, public and private conversations around sex education and, frankly, just straight up body literacy. And I have a feeling that this is a pretty strong passion for you, Missy. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you came to writing this book?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, Lindsay, I'm thrilled that, first of all, that you bought it, and considering you mostly deal with adults, and that you read it and had such positive reactions to it. We were very proud of that book. It won, you know, 5 independent book publishing awards, and was definitely a labor of love. And it started out because I had a 10-year-old at the time, and I was confounded by this pathway that we hear adult women express about how they didn't know their bodies. Why didn't anyone talk to them about this when they were younger? So we had gotten a grant to develop a related digital product. And we thought, you know, there's a market of people that we want to reach. And those are people that have puberty-age children who are going to be going through menstruation for the first time, but who also potentially could have symptoms of pelvic health disorders like fibroids and endometriosis, who might have an aha moment reading a book like this to their child. So if you notice it, it's strategically written so that it's meant to be read to a child by their grown-up. And we're hoping that that then generates both kind of a double aha moment for the reader and then the child is hearing it at the same time. So my 10-year-old was my inspiration. She was mildly horrified that I was writing a book on bladders, which is what she knew me as, was like somebody who was focusing on bladder health. And then when she had her own period and we went through the book and talked about how she would know if she was getting her period and some of the things that were in the book, she was quite excited that her mom was writing this cool book, as she said.
Oh my goodness. I love that. I have to tell you, Missy, that I have a 10-year-old right now myself. And so much of what you said resonates with me. And, you know, she also thinks of her mom as someone that talks about, you know, bladders and vulvas and all of the things. And at this point in time, I'm probably not in the cool category. So I do hope that day is coming.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, it was funny because she had gotten her period and was really, really stress out about it. But because we had these conversations, you know, she asked to stay home from school and have a tampon practice day because the next day they were going to be swimming. And, you know, of course I was kind of taken aback that she wanted to go right to tampons. But of course I had done the same thing at 14, not at, she was 11 at that point. But she had just this general comfort with her body that I know was different for me, especially growing up Catholic in a family that really didn't speak about these things. So I think this is probably one of the biggest gifts we can give our respective, you know, children, especially the, you know, our daughters, is being comfortable enough to have the conversations with us about what's going on for them.
I couldn't agree with you more. And that's another thing we have in common is that I actually grew up Catholic as well. And so I think that's part of the comfort and passion that I have around talking about these topics, because I just think that it really kicks off such advocacy in ourselves. And going back to what you said a moment ago about your intention for the book were these double aha moments, right? So this, and I can't tell you how often I hear about, you know, the OTs that I support who are specifically working in the pediatric realm where, you know, you can kind of see this look of contemplation come over the parent's face. And then there's a side conversation around, well, goodness, I didn't know these things were normal. You know, is there help for me? And so the optimism and the hope that we can spread by this education has such an incredible ripple effect. And I couldn't agree with you more. It is 100% the best gift that we can give the younger generations and our children.
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, because everything that I know from my work with, you know, thousands of patients over the years, which pale in comparison probably to yours, is just that constant barrage. You know, no one talked to me about this. I didn't know. Nobody knows what normal is. So therefore, how do you know it's not normal? And, you know, that's what, you know, we really try to get under in all the work that we're doing.
So Missy, your more recent projects really revolve around access to care and really essentially the client journey in pelvic health. And we all know that this can be a very, you know, complex journey for some of our clients. Would you mind sharing, if you're comfortable, a little bit about your own journey and why you're so passionate around issues like access to care and cost in pelvic health?
Oh, absolutely, Lizzie. Thank you. That's my favorite question. So when I had my son 20 years ago and ended up in the arms, literally, of one of the world-class best urogynecologists in Chicago, I could not believe all of the statistics coming out of her mouth about how many millions of women look just like me. I mean, I was a 40-year-old mom, so that had its own risks. I didn't even know about that. I didn't know about the kinds of things I'd chosen in my delivery that put me, you know, in her arms and in her office. And I had made some decisions based on no data that contributed to my body then being really kind of a pelvic health nightmare. And then when I went home, being the good little MBA I was, I Googled everything and was just horrified. And the more I dug into it, and the more I went, when I was back, you know, with follow-up care, this same doctor, I'd be like, where is the data on, you know, Black women? Where's the data on Latino women? And then it really became an income issue. And I realized that there are so very few resources in the field of pelvic health, whether it's physical therapists, urogynes, even urologists, PTs, et cetera. You know, most of them are in major metropolitan markets. 80% of specialty care providers are in major metropolitan markets. And that means if you're in Missoula, Montana, or, you know, somewhere where you have to drive 3 or 4 hours to get to care, your ability, for example, to have a follow-up appointment is probably slim to none. If you're a low-income person in this country, your healthcare options are just very, very limited. So everything that Renalis, our company, does now is really to create things that can treat women where they are, or people, persons assigned female, where they are in their home, and then keep them connected to healthcare providers if they need additional care.
This is so evolutionary. And I have to ask, because this is probably not a tool that many people are familiar with in terms of treating a person assigned as woman at birth at home, you know, where they are, so that you're right, that follow-up care and the options are actually available to them. So would you mind sharing a little bit about how that actually works?
Sure. So our first product's name is CC. So CC is a software product that you would refer to as, the category is called digital therapeutics. So the name tells you something. So it's meant to deliver to a patient an 8-week course of treatment over her smart device, or frankly, we're building it so it could be a computer as well, that would mimic the kinds of things you would learn if you were fortunate enough to get to an OT or an occupational therapist or a pelvic floor physical therapist in this space. And again, there's about 5,000 pelvic floor PTs in this country, so let's just start with that being an access and equity issue. So CC basically takes your data from validated embedded questionnaires, and then there's a 72-hour bladder diary. So I should mention we're starting with a condition called overactive bladder as our first indication that we're addressing. And then from those data, she then starts discussing topics like fluid management, bladder irritants, constipation, pelvic floor, specifically pelvic floor for overactive bladder, or OAB as we call it. And it's in a very user-friendly environment. It looks basically like you're chatting with your best girlfriend who's a nurse practitioner. So meant to be kind of that credible, medical, approachable voice. And also engaging, right? Because we want women to have this 8-week journey and feel like it's personalized to them. So we then check back in at the midpoint with another 1-day diary, and at the end, they get a final 1-day diary and the same questionnaires, but it's all to show progress and encouragement. And then if they need care or when they need care, then CC would alert the provider, who would then step in and maybe schedule them for additional treatment options.
What type of provider are we talking about?
So initially, we're going to be targeting specialty care providers. So the same thing I just told you are inaccessible to many. But the reality of OAB, or overactive bladder, is that you really can be preliminarily diagnosed by your primary care provider. And it can all, frankly, be done with telehealth. It's one of those conditions you just want to screen for some big things like, is there pain when they're peeing? Is there blood in their urine? Or do they have recurrent or very urinary tract infections often? Those would be people you would want to see in a practice. But otherwise, you know, it could be a primary care provider who then, you know, prescribes CC, or it could be, again, at the specialist, urologist, urogynecologist level, or even OBGYNs, which people tend to see more often.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, if it's anything like below your belt, this sense of engagement and personalization and chatting with your best friend is definitely there, because I've seen this firsthand with the book I'm actually holding in my hand right now. So I can see that is also important to you and a big part of you designing this as well.
It's huge, Lindsay, and we have done a lot of usability testing over the years with CC. So we do a lot with... We did a lot in our nonprofit days with community health workers, most of whom English was not their primary language, and they actually named her for us. I wanted to call her Coco because she coaches and connects, but they liked Cece because it's like sounds like Cece, which is great. But we, you know, this conversational style that she has is really approachable, like we were talking about, but also plays well across ages and also across socioeconomic levels. So we wanted to have something that, you know, again, could not be intimidatingly medical. I don't want, it's not like you're reading a website or, you know, WebMD text. It's really, you know, again, something more, I would say digestible is also a good word to use, you know, because you don't want to just dump a whole pamphlet on someone and say, here, read this. And that is unfortunately the standard of care, where Cece is meant to be this journey over 8 weeks of learning, engagement, encouragement, repetition, et cetera.
Yeah. Missy, are there any other aspects that you can think of that put a bee in your bonnet regarding a client's journey in pelvic health?
Did you know that the third annual OTs in Pelvic Health Summit comes with 1.6 AOTA-approved CEUs? Now, while the in-person event has sold out, you can still purchase the recordings for $100 off using the link that's in the show notes. We have a professional videography team coming in to capture every single moment of the summit, so it's the next best thing to being there. Pick up your $100 off tickets with 1.6 AOTA-approved CEUs by going to the link in the show notes.
Yes, I think there's a couple of things, Lindsay, that really get my goat, as we say. First of all, the fact that so many people have told us they've brought up these conditions, leaking, bleeding, chronic pain, those are our big buckets that we're addressing at Renalis. They'll bring them up to their doctor or their healthcare provider and basically get dismissed. Well, you just have a baby, you're older, you're a woman. It's just, you know, it's like it's a part of the deal to have abnormal uterine bleeding or to be constantly in the bathroom or to have, you know, your bowels out of control. These are issues that are literally debilitating and isolating and can cause women to fall on the way to the bathroom at night, for example, and break a hip. So that really makes me crazy. And the other part of it is, the reason we started with overactive bladder, for example, is we spend in the category of pelvic health disorders about $100 billion a year annually with all of these conditions. But overactive bladder alone is close to $70 billion of that, and that's mostly indirect medical costs. That's ridiculous, Lindsay. And the key to kind of bending that cost curve is having early intervention with things like Cece that can help a patient before they get so chronic and so out of control that they might need a more invasive, could be effective, but more invasive therapy. So we're really focusing on those patients at the top of the funnel, if you will, and trying to address them early in their journey.
Well, I mean, that's so important because we know that that early intervention is game-changing for people. And the biggest issue that we hear as, you know, pelvic floor practitioners on the ground is exactly what you said earlier on our talk today, which is like this idea of why didn't anyone tell me? How did I not know there were options for this? And what we start to see, especially because as an occupational therapist, I have a strong desire to really treat the biopsychosocial approach. So to really think about the role of the nervous system and how things like chronic pain really do add layers of complexity. And had the client found us 7 years earlier, which can often be that average number of how long it takes for a client to find a pelvic health practitioner to really address some of these core issues, lifestyle, behavior, habits, roles, and routines, functional, you know, outcomes, the things that we know really move the needle is often 7 years. And so if we can, you know, go back in time and actually, you know, catch a client in when just education can play such a key role, then we're not down that road of, you know, having to address some of these more sometimes complex or, you know, more evolved aspects of care.
Right. And the other component to this is, especially if you have an out of control bladder, what most people fear is that they get put on medication. And somewhat irrationally, but also because some of the earlier medications in the space had some pretty significant side effects. The whole class of anticholinergics are being studied right now because there's potential for dementia in up to 11% of the patient population, even after you go off the meds. So people are taking a really close look at those drugs, but they're cheap and they're readily available and they're generic. The other medications in the space are expensive, even if you have good health insurance like I do. So if you're going to go towards a medication, you need to take a medication, and I actually take one of the more expensive ones right now. If I didn't know the things that CC is teaching me, you know, the things you've just been referencing, these behavioral therapy subjects, if I didn't know them, my journey as a patient wouldn't be nearly as successful. I'm 100% confident in that because I've made choices. I know what bladder irritants are. I know the ones I want to consume. I manage the volume, the timing of those. I chase them with water. I do, you know, all the things I have to do to live my life well, but I have to take the medication and it works perfectly. If I didn't know all of those other things, taking the same medication, I can guarantee you I wouldn't have as good results. And that's another reason that we think CC is so important as a supplement to the medications. There's good data that shows that behavioral plus medications are more efficacious than just the meds alone. So that's a place that we like to see propositioned.
Absolutely. You had mentioned, I didn't hear it very clearly, but earlier you had mentioned three conditions that Renalis is really passionate about. I believe you said pelvic pain, overactive bladder, and if I heard you correctly, what was the third one?
So we like to think of, when people are talking pelvic health disorders, we talk about leaking, bleeding, chronic pain. So we actually started with a CC that is focused on coaching a mom of a puberty-aged child around what's normal and not normal menstruation. It's basically the digital version of the book you love. And we received an SBIR, a Small Business Innovation Research Grant, from NICHD. We actually built that. We had a research study with Northwestern. The study was very positive, but we don't have a commercial track yet for that product. So we then did a huge amount of customer discovery, and it was really the overactive bladder patients and providers that were really screaming for a solution. So overactive bladder is our first indication. We have a second version of CC that's focused on stress version mixed, so meant to be delivered more to a primary care patient. And then we will look at fecal incontinence next because it's, as you know, such a big and debilitating condition for many, many, many patients with bladder issues as well. And then chronic pelvic pain is definitely our long-term roadmap.
Amazing. So next is the stress urge mix.
Yeah, the stress urge, that what we call a urinary incontinence CC, or lovingly UICC, is actually in a usability study with University Hospital here in Cleveland right now. It's part of a very big grant that we got from another federal funding agency. We'll find out in a few months what that does as far as efficacy, but our overactive bladder patient practice is the first one that we're going to be taking to the market once we get FDA clearance.
That's incredible. Well, I know that I'll be watching with bated breath to see how all of this develops. And I am just so inspired by your approach and your optimism and just the great care you're taking to really consider all the aspects of making this really crucial aspect of healthcare so much more accessible and approachable.
Thank you. And I want to say, Lindsay, one of the things that drives me is, you know, we have to form a business around this for it to work, right? So trying to figure out who is going to pay for behavioral therapy has been really challenging for us. But what's really clear is that there's a road to reimbursement that's happening in other conditions, like mental health, opioid addiction, smoking cessation, etc., that is very translatable to behavioral therapy for bladder health or bowel health. And so as a company, we're taking this very strenuous route of going for FDA clearance as a way to then become what's known as a prescribed digital therapeutic, which also makes it more approachable, quite honestly, for the providers to prescribe CC, because they also need to get paid to talk about things. And there are things like CPT codes for these products. But it's a very complicated and multidimensional part of healthcare right now that, you know, we're excited to be in the middle of.
Well, I'm going to list in the show notes where our listeners can find you. Of course, I'll link to Blow Your Belt as well as Renalis. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? Additional resources, way to stay in touch with you?
I would say, you know, find me on LinkedIn. We also have social media. Like everyone else, we've been involved in social media since practically got started. So we have pretty active Instagram and Facebook page, and those will be ramping up, especially as we start recruiting for our pivotal trial, which we will be doing hopefully later this year for overactive bladder patients.
Okay, so I'll definitely also include in the show notes the LinkedIn as well as the Instagram and Facebook handles.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Such a pleasure, Missy. Thank you for all the innovative work you're doing, and really enjoyed our time together today.
Thanks, Missy. So did I. Take care.
Thanks for listening to another episode of OTs in Pelvic Health. If you haven't already, hop onto Facebook and join my group, OTs for Pelvic Health, where we have thousands of OTs at all stages of their pelvic health career journey. This is such an incredibly supportive community where I go live each and every week. If you love this episode, please take a screenshot of this episode on your phone and post it to IG, Facebook, wherever you post your stuff, and be sure to tag me and let me know why you like this episode. This will help me to create in the future what you want to hear more of. Thanks again for listening to the OTs in Pelvic Health podcast.